Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Hey, this is Steve Butella for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Jill talks about the concept of a dress rehearsal, but in terms of success, you know, and in our case, in the land flipping success and the success of our members. Jill, I love this concept. You know, you execute what you've learned, but you're not really in front of an audience yet. So if you fail, does it really matter? I mean, it kind of matters, but it doesn't matters. Matter.
It matters. Well, it's just like, it was, I know, days ago that we came up with this topic. And it's just, I think it stemmed from some of the stuff that I'm doing on the side is how we tied it all together. But, you know, I think I was just trying to say it's like, what we're doing in Land Academy can be like college for life. You know, it's having a mentor, having a teacher, you know, choosing a path and having someone to kind of guide you a little bit as you get rolling in this career and this life.
One of the things that I always see, and I'm sure you do too, with some of our younger members, not younger in age, but just newer members, I guess, they have the first deal jitters. So they're concerned about really just getting that first deal done. And I'm constantly trying to come up with creative ways to say, it's okay. Just get the deal done. Get it recorded, you know, record a property, you know, buy a property, put it in your name from a seller, and then go through the motions of, I don't know, recording it to your spouse or something like that, if that's kind of a deal jitter. So it's a dress rehearsal. That's the way I look at it.
Well, don't you think that's kind of similar in any occupation? Like, I'm clearly not an attorney, but I can imagine, what if I was an attorney and I went to law school, I did everything, you know, everything right, and then the day comes when I'm now, you know, handling my own case, I can imagine there being a little bit of some jitters. I can imagine someone saying, you know, I can't believe that everyone's looking to me and trusting me. You know what I mean? I have all this power now, or, you know, for a lot of things. I imagine it's true.
I mean, I guess you got to cut the cord at some point in everything, right?
It's true.
You know, you're going to be responsible in your example, mm-hmm. for your first case, you're going to be in accounting. You have your first client, I guess in healthcare, it'd be your first patient.
Right. What if you're a doctor, right? And you're no longer you're no longer, is it an intern? What's that called? They're doing your
residency.
That's it. Where you have someone kind of looking over you, but someday they do cut the cord and you're on your own, and now you're in charge and you're making the decisions, and it's got to be scary.
You know, again, that's why we started Success Plan, mm-hmm. because hopefully eases. You know, Success Plan is a place where potential members or members go and they discuss what's going on in their land buying and selling career. So I'd like to think that eases that anxiety, beginning mm-hmm. anxiety out of the box, I hope.
I just thought of something funny. One way that you really don't get a dress rehearsal, you know, kind of thing, is being a parent. You're kind of thrown in there. So sorry to all the number one kids out there, and I'm a number one kid. My mom used to say, sorry, we made all the mistakes on you. Oops. You don't get to dress rehearsal and practice that one.
Remember that one time we went skiing with all of our, with some friends and a bunch of people and our, some of our children?
Yeah.
And they all, there are two kids in particular that did a lot of research on the internet about skiing.
Oh my gosh. You mean one kid in particular?
And they put the skis on and it didn't, it just wasn't like what they learned on the internet.
Oh,
and they were incredibly disappointed and frustrated.
Oh, it was hilarious. That was the one and only time they skied. That was it.
Is that it?
That was it. They are done. She is done. She read all the way up there, was telling everyone in the vehicle and everybody with us, all our friends, that you guys are all silly. I read all about this black diamond, whatever. She knew that she had it aced because she read all about it. Yeah, and that's a good example. She got up there, put the skis on, and fell down so many times and could not understand why she just couldn't master this because she read everything about it. So, yeah, it was. What was funny is this particular individual is not a quitter, man. That's what's so interesting is that she, boy, in life in general, she kills it. But whew, that skiing thing, she said, I'm out. It was not really on her list, apparently.
You know, we've got there's a show on our list. I think it's coming up really soon here. All about that exact topic. Like, some people are set up for skiing and some people aren't. And some people are set up for land investing or real estate investing in general and some aren't.
Well, some people are set up for being their own boss and entrepreneurship, and some people have a stomach for that. Mm-hmm. The highs and the lows and the nervousness and, you know, and being in charge. And some people are just happy to having a pension. I think there's still companies out there with those, you know, and a time clock that they're set up for that, and that's okay.
So what do you think the steps are to making this decision? I mean, if you were starting, well, you did it. So what were the steps? You know, step one, like, buy into the fact that you can buy and sell rural land, you know.
I went back even before that when you just asked that question. I thought about what kind of life you want. You know, do you want to be your own boss? Do you want to make your own schedule? Where are you happiest in life? Do you want a 9-to-5 job? A lot of people do. I did not want a 9-to-5 job.
Me either.
And I was happy. And here's the flip side. I don't have a 9-to-5 job, but I have a 7-day-a-week job. So that's the trade-off. But, you know, I could pick and do what I want when I want. Mm-hmm. So first you have to mentally, I think, decide that kind of thing. And then from there, what's going to fit your personality? What's going to get you to where you want to be the fastest, you know, and get you set up? So, and then for me, you know, getting involved with you and what we do in land and, you know, our numbers and everything, it was not a hard decision
right
to make. And then when it came down to the technical pieces of it, like, gosh, am I comfortable, you know, making some of these decisions? Am I comfortable assessing property values and talking to people and customers? Am I comfortable? Heck yeah.
You know what? This is a great point. I'm going to sort of half interrupt you because it seems to me like you present yourself like you're fearless about these kinds of things. You have this kind of thing about you, Jill, and I don't know if I've seen it, even like with really high-end executives in publicly traded companies, you have this attitude where, hey, if something goes a little bit sideways a couple hours from now and whatever I'm doing, I'll just deal with it then. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who want to try to pre-plan everything, include myself in that, where I try to over-plan everything and try to plan for good and bad, and then I deal with it within those boundaries. But, you know, I guess what I'm saying is your way is better because why plan for something that's not going to really happen?
Well, you know what I think it is.
Good or bad.
Well, when you mentioned the fearless thing, and I'll have to be honest, and I'll share a little secret with you. I learned, well, you probably know this. I'm sharing it with everybody else. I learned a long time ago from my dad that it's sometimes you just act like you know what you're doing. Seriously. And it works out. I have been in a lot of situations where inside I was very nervous, butterflies, scared, but I just went in it with my head held high, like, I got this. And you know what? Everybody said, she's got this. And I did. So
you're experiencing that right now?
A little bit.
What?
I'm just kidding. Well, you know,
we're sitting in a closet with the lights off and in front of two microphones.
No.
There's nothing. It's fine.
No, but there's still times in life, seriously, that comes up. You know, for example, you know, I'm stepping outside my box right now, my comfort zone, and taking an acting class and having so much fun. I know nothing about acting. I never did it in high school. Nothing. It's fun for me. But there's a little bit of a, you know, I'm like, oh, what am I doing here? You know, kind of thing. But I got this. And it's fun. So I hope that helps. Hope that helps other people. It really does work, by the way.
You know, I think, yeah, I'm sure it does too. I, you know, there's so many ways to look at. I mean, I've always just been I've always been good at computers from the second I sat down in middle school. I just have, for some reason. And so I think that kind of matters too. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should choose your whole path in the world that way. I think you can have sidetracked businesses and sidetracked interests like your acting thing, right, and not expect to do a blockbuster movie, you know, in the next year. But
why not?
Well,
act like you know what you're doing. Hi, I'm here to audition. I'm right after Angelina Jolie here. I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Do you want to be an actor?
I'm just joking. I'm just saying anything is possible, and I really believe that.
So I think, you know, we're talking about the steps of getting. I believe that too, but I think, you know, talking about getting into this, preparing and taking the steps toward making a decision. One of the first things I always do is stare at a blank piece of paper and ask myself, what do I want? Do I want to do a podcast, or am I going to just dread doing it? You know, do I want to buy this piece of property? Like, we're doing these three 40-acre property acquisition right now. Man, I know I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I know how much money we're going to make out of it. You know, I don't see that as – do you see those three deals that we're doing, that mm-hmm. we're buying, do you see any risk in that?
Mm-mm.
I don't either.
No, because we're buying them right. We wouldn't buy them. That's the thing.
That's really what I'm trying to convey here.
Okay.
But I guess if this was my first deal,
right,
I would probably have some apprehension. Not so much that the economics of the deal work. So let's say, you know, we're buying these properties for what? I think $1,500 each.
More than that at the end, but yeah.
Okay, like 1,800. Okay. Less than 2,000 okay. each, right?
I'm just being realistic. I want everybody, you know.
Less than 2,000, right?
Okay.
Is it less than 2,000?
Yes.
All right, so we're buying these 40s for less than $2,000 each. We know we're going to sell them for way, way, way more than that.
Of course.
So I guess if this was my first deal, the apprehension I would have would be, am I going to screw something up? The deal's awesome. Am I going to do something wrong?
Am I going to record it wrong?
Yeah.
Am I going to get, is it going to get kicked back? And
yeah. I'm not going to
am I going to need more documents or,
how many pictures should I take? All those little things.
Right. Yeah. When I go to advertise it, am I going to advertise it correctly to maximize the profit or, you know, whatever it is? Sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. So my whole point to this episode is, you know, you don't have to have those concerns because you can go into a success plant. The way we have this set up, you can go into success plant and start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did you guys handle the photography thing? How did you guys handle the, you know,
right?
Here's the deal. I'm buying them for $2,000 each.
Right.
What do you think I should do? Do you want to buy them?
Right. And then through us and through, you know, the program, we show people, this is what your photos should look like. This is the, you know, where you should advertise it. This is all that stuff. So that's, you know, someone reviewed our program the other day and they said something really great. And I remembered that, which was, hey, if you're looking for a way to take some of the learning curve out of it, you know, and stuff, this is the place to be, which is kind of where we are. We're taking, in a lot of places you can say that, like in college, it doesn't, you know, I don't want to knock on college, but most, like a college business degree sets you up for many different things, but it doesn't quite get you there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think college is a perfect example of exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at the stuff even that my 12-year-old is learning right now, and it's some of it's so silly, it's just a waste of time.
Right.
And I think college, especially a 4-year degree from a large college, which is where I graduated from, that situation is maybe a ton of wasted time. I'm not saying don't do it.
Right.
I'm just saying there's probably better ways to do it.
Right.
Hey, there's a dress rehearsal and then there's 22 months of pre-dress rehearsal that are incredibly useless and overkill, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that you need to go through 4 terms of stats.
Right.
To be good, be a good accountant.
It's true.
So what do you think really is the point?
Of college?
Yeah. Of just, I think it's, you know, well, yeah. What do you think?
You shouldn't ask me that one. Really? Why do you want to ask me that? No. Well, I mean.
I think a lot of people, there's a lot of overkill.
Right. That's very true. There is. I mean, we all know the first 2 years of college are kind of your fluff years anyway. It's all the base. It's kind of extension of high school. And then when you're in your upper division classes, now you're then you finally get into the good stuff. How come we can't fast forward and get to the good stuff?
Yeah, get to the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to the part where I really want to know. Okay, I really need to know accounting details because I'm going to do X. I don't need I don't need all the English credits and the science because I get it to build a foundation, but I thought we did that in high school.
I guess everybody learns differently. I do really well when I just get thrown into the whole thing and then just figure it out while it's happening in real time.
Mm-hmm. It's good to have options.
Right.
It's good to have options. It's okay, so back to the dress rehearsal. So if you think, I was thinking like, this could be a dress rehearsal because like your mentor is kind of like a director. Like you have or like you said, a teacher earlier. It's there to, you have someone you can ask questions and bouncing off of. And gosh, isn't that nice? Because in life, we don't usually get that. Like, hey, am I parenting right? Am I doing this right? Could you imagine?
You know, I guess over time, what you really adopt is what I alluded to earlier with you. It's just, you know, after a while, if you've done, so you have some transaction experience. I mean, we have almost 16,000 units done, transaction experience units completed. If something really, really goes sideways at this point, all you got to do is just say, wait, wait, wait. You know, whatever it is, we'll figure it out. We've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, the right kind of person to learn from. The right kind of entity.
Someone who shows you how to tack, if you will, or is that what you're trying to say? Okay. You want to explain tacking? I love that term. You came up with that a long time ago, and I think it's awesome.
No, you have to tack in life. This could be a whole show.
That's true.
It could just be a whole show that's incredibly boring.
So let's just talk about it now and get it out of the way.
Okay, let's not make a whole show out of
it. No,
let's
not.
No, tacking is, you know, like in when you're, if anybody who's ever sailed knows what tacking is, you have a headwind, and you can't, if the boat goes straight into the wind, straight specifically into the wind, it's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to sit there. So you have to go on a right angle, kind of, not on a right angle, but like a 45 degree angle for a while so the sail can catch the wind and then tack back. So you go, you know, now to the other direction, but you're still going on a 45 degree angle. So you're moving forward. You're using the wind that's in the, and you do the same thing with the wind behind you. So that's what I think life's like. You know, you got to tack. Mm-hmm. There's only so far. If you want to go forward, you have to go kind of not straight at it, but, you know, right for a while and left for a while and take what comes at you.
That's good.
Sometimes the wind stops altogether.
Then what do you do?
Philosophical.
By the way, well, there's a good analogy. Okay, so what do you do? You're tacking through life and the wind stops.
That's why there's a bottle of whiskey on every boat.
Oh, nice. Oh my gosh, that's good to say, or a motor. You would just sit and drink. No, some people wouldn't. Would start up the boat. I'm just kidding. I like the way you sail. That's nice. That's really good.
What would you do? What do you do when the wind stops in your philosophical situation?
Turn on the engine and figure it out. I get myself rolling again until the wind picks up. I wouldn't just sit back. That's kind of funny.
Hilarious joke.
I don't know. Although there are times to sit back and just have a drink. I got that. But
is right now one of those times?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, it's coming up right in about 5 minutes.
All right. So here's my kind of final theory. This is my question to you about a dress rehearsal. Do you think that everybody involved in a production, they expect the dress rehearsal to be, that's it. So everybody runs through it like it's a real show.
Absolutely.
Or are you still learning? Does the director say, stop it? Wait, wait, wait. That's not how we practice this. Or is it, you just let it go and let everybody, like it's real. Like it's opening night.
A dress rehearsal is you're on stage. You got full makeup on. The lights are the way they should be. This is one last go before we have a full audience. Now, having said that, after the dress rehearsal, after the whole thing, then we got to go, all right, now we tweak this, we tweak that, we figure out our last little changes. But you should have makeup in your wardrobe and and your lines down and go at it mentally and physically as if it's live and prepared with an audience.
Have you had one recently?
I have had one recently.
Did it go like that?
It did go like that. Exactly. Like
what that. If you walk away from the dress rehearsal and it's like, oh, that was my worst performance ever.
Thank God it was a dress rehearsal.
And I'm going to fail tomorrow because it's opening night.
No, that's your time to go, all right, now I know what I need to do.
You know, I'm being devil's advocate here.
I do know that. You okay. Do that often.
I try to see if there's a point of failure. Yeah. If there's no point of failure, then it's like, all right, let's do this. That's what a dress rehearsal is for me. Oh. Where is this going to fail?
All right.
Oh, it's not going to fail anywhere. All right, let's do it. Let's make some money.
But you know what? Even if you're, okay, here's a whole other thing. Sometimes in life, you are going to make mistakes, though. Even it may not be your best performance. You're cruising along, and you have 20 beautiful performances, and you might have an off day and not have your best performance. So you know what? That's you, your team, and maybe you have a team, maybe you don't have a team. But everybody covers for each other. You look to your cast member, your other cast member, to pick you up and and save the show, because that does happen. And you finish it with the best you can, no matter what. You never stop doing it. You never step out of character. You never go, can we please start over again? Mm-mm. You can't do that. You just continue on. You might have an off day, and that's okay.
You know, that's a great point, and this is a great point to end this episode. Just because you fail at something doesn't mean you're a failure.
That's true.
Whatever you're working on and you failed at it, it's one little thing. It doesn't mean you're stupid or you don't understand stuff or you don't learn as well. I think a lot of times we get taught that in school. Like if it doesn't come to us really quickly, like the guy next to me.
Right.
Then there's something wrong with me. And that's just not the case at all.
That's a good point.
You know, you just got to try harder.
Yeah. If it doesn't come naturally to you, that doesn't mean you should stop.
Right.
That's true. It's fantastic when it does. But if it's really something you want to do, you'll figure it out.
Right.
Don't stop. That's a good point.
So join us in another episode where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in land, investment, and in life.
Do you think people got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Do you get it? You
know,
you're the last person I worry about in this world. You know that? Like, you just go off and do what you need to do and come back and.
Well, same with you.
It's all, you know, like I can really rely on you for everything that is in your little world. And I'll tell you what, and that's the good news. Here's the bad news.
Oh, no. What's that?
Once in a while, in every partnership, wires get crossed or there's cross responsibility situations, you know, maybe somebody's not there that day and you got to deal with some stuff that, you know, the other guy usually deals with. And man, it's really nice when that person comes back the next day and deals with it.
Well, that's like I was saying, maybe you had an off day and you have to look to your cast member, you know, your scene partner to save it. What if you forget a line? They're going to save it and save you. And you got to be there for each other. Respect. You really got to be there for each other. That's the whole point. So thank you. I appreciate that. We all have off days.
We're smack in the middle of the holidays right now. And
yeah,
most of the people here at Land Stay and Land Academy are not interested.
They're not
interested in working at all.
They're not here.
And when they are here, right. There's nothing getting, I call it a holiday interruption.
Have you seen the fudge on my desk?
Some people say it's a holiday break. I think it's a holiday interruption.
Where did you write that the other day? Because we were laughing about that. You wrote that somewhere and we're like, I know what it was. You put it on success
plan. It's right in the face of success plan.
Oh my gosh. We're like, he put holiday interruption?
This is intentional.
This is supposed to be a use that good word. Thing. It's a positive thing. Due to our holiday celebration, Stephen called it a holiday interruption. Like, what the heck? All right. You know what? We know what you're getting in your stocking. What are you asking for Christmas, by the way?
What am I going to ask for?
Yeah.
January 1st.
Oh, no more holiday interruptions.
What do I want? I don't know. This is a good topic.
It is a good topic?
Yeah. What do I want for Christmas?
Yeah.
You know, I love gift certificate movie money.
Ah, okay.
That's an old standby.
Got it.
What do you want? way more importantly, what do you want?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking of the Steve Martin skit on Saturday Night Live that we're watching last night where he talks about, because it makes me laugh every time. If I had one gift or one wish this Christmas season, I wish that all the children of the world would come together and hold hands in peace and harmony and sing, you know, something like that. And then if I had a second wish, I'd want $3 million deposited or $30 million into a Swiss bank account. And as the thing goes on, he goes, yeah, and the first thing about the kids, whatever. And then it all goes into reorder where the money comes first and this comes second. And then, yeah, don't forget. Oh yeah, of course the kids, you know, whatever. So it made me think of that when I think of what I want. So I want the kids to have their thing, blah, blah, blah. Then, no, sorry. So, what do I want? I want my car troubles to go away, number one.
Well, that's solved.
But yes. My favorite thing is when all of our kids get what they want. That's what I want. I want to see their faces when they open their presents and go, oh my gosh. Cause we're really good at, they're not listening, so it's safe to say this. We're really good at faking them out.
they don't listen. If they listen to this show.
Oh my gosh. They will never hear this, but we're the pros at faking them out and letting them know that, oh yeah, shucks. And that'd be great, but there's just no way that's going to happen this year. How about this? So
I bet they have this all figured out.
Maybe they do, and they're surprising us by faking us out.
They're
and
smarter
I'm okay
than
with
we
that
are.
Too. That's okay.
They're way smarter than us.
And that's okay.
Did you have your parents figured out when you were that age? I did.
No, they faked me out. I can honestly say they faked me out. So one year I really wanted this cruiser bike. I'll never forget it. And did I tell you this story?
No.
I see my dad. I actually caught my dad riding my bike home from the store. Seriously. But it was far enough away that I'm like, I know that's my dad. I know that's my dad with my bike, right? I just knew it. Well, here's the thing. Then I get home and I'm like so darn excited. I'm searching high and low to find, I mean, how do you hide a bike? Come on. I couldn't find the bike. And then I'm questioning myself thinking, oh no, maybe that wasn't my bike. Maybe that wasn't my dad. I'm not going to get it. And then of course, Christmas morning, there it was. Well, he hid it at the next door neighbor's house. I didn't think
Excellent.
To go over there. So it
Excellent.
Was brilliant. But I searched. I'm pretty much climbing up in the rafters in the garage looking for this bike. And I was crushed because I couldn't find it. And oh, they faked me out. It was blue and it had like gold rims back then. Oh, it was really pretty.
So here, this is what I think about gift giving in general. I think that there's two types of people. I've learned this recently. There are people who want to be surprised, mm-hmm. and there are people who do not want to be surprised. They want to give you every last detail of what they want, and then they just want to open it and it's over.
It's true. Which one are you, Steven?
The one who's being interrupted.
Yeah,
not
the holiday
not
interruption.
The one who's celebrating.
Exactly.
Would you rather get a diamond ring that you've picked out for yourself, or would you rather have somebody go through the mental process of, well, she would like this, she would like this, she's my sweetheart, this is what I'm going to pick out, and then just have it be special like that?
What do you think?
I think the latter.
It is the latter.
But aren't you ever disappointed, like secretly? Like, oh, this is not the ring I want. I'm embarrassed to wear this ring. The guy's an idiot.
No. Because if someone put a lot much thought and care into it, no, okay. That's better.
Well,
I totally agree.
Is why you're awesome, Jill.
Thanks.
Because that's not the way most people are.
Thanks.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.